You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. If you're listening like you normally do on the audio side of things, we welcome you back. We love all the support and feedback we get from our show, but we are throwing a new wrench into the operation. Yes, we are going onto YouTube, and there is live video for you to watch throughout the broadcast. Now, you're so used to hearing my voice talking about certain things, but we wanted to step our game up a little bit. So we'll have visuals. You'll be able to see me during the show. And over time, we want to have some live shows where you guys contribute and give us some questions, and we go from there. But it's going to be a busy offseason. We have a lot in store, not just for the Pinstripe Talk podcast, but for the Let's Debate podcast and some other new projects that we're working on as well. The Delahanty Media brand continues to grow on a daily basis. Jump on the wave right now. Now, as you see on the bottom of the screen, you can find our website by going to DelahantyMedia.com. Okay, go on the website, get some gear while you're at it. I have this really nice sweatshirt on today. You know, go buy one. Everything that you guys buy, the money that we raise, helps support our brand and our shows. So support, be a public advertiser. We appreciate all the support that we get. Now, in case you don't know, and you can look at our screen, there's our social media. It's right there listed for you, okay? Facebook, search up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. On Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND. You could also hit me up on my personal account, at Nick_Delahanty. You're going to see a lot of different types of tweets from me, ranging from the Yankees, the Jets, North Carolina Athletics. You name it, I tweet about it. And then, of course, on Instagram, follow us, Delahanty Media. And then, as you see below that, there are a couple of ways you can listen to our show. Our podcast is available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcasts. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on there. Spotify, same thing. And then our new toy is YouTube, right? And on the bottom of our screen, you can see there's a subscribe button. Hit that button. Before you leave today's show, hit that button. And you can also hit it below. There's another button for you to use. Leave some comments. Voice your opinion. We love to hear feedback from you guys as our shows go on. Now, as we get into Yankees baseball, because obviously that's what we're here for, today's show, and if you guys follow our social media feeds already, we conducted some polls recently where we asked you guys what pitchers should stay or go. And here's how we kind of spun it. Let me give you a little bit of background, okay? Yes, most of these guys are under contract. But what we did was we took the most important Yankee pitchers from 2020 and we included them in this survey. So you will see guys like Masahiro Tanaka, James Paxton, Jay Happ, who are all free agents. They're not under contract, but they are important to this operation, and we're going to see whether or not you guys thought that they should stay or they should go. And then we evaluated every single pitcher that was part of the active roster or should have contributed in some way in 2020, and we're going to break each and every one of them down on this broadcast. So what you'll see is very simple, and I'm going to pull up the first one for you so you can get an idea of what we're looking at, okay? So as you can see, Zach Britton's the first guy we're going to talk about. We're going to go in alphabetical order because, you know, as a teacher, I like to keep things in order. But we're going to go through each individual. We're going to give you a little more information about them. I'll give you the results from the Twitter poll, and then I'll give you my opinion on whether or not that player should stay or go. Now, Britton, he had an interesting case after the World Series, right? He had an option where it's called a swell-op. And if you don't know what a swell-op is, Scott Boras, who's an agent throughout Major League Baseball, has started to put these in contracts for his players that he represents. Why? It's simple. If the player gets exercised, obviously their contract is beneficial to them. If the club declines the option for a player, the player can then reevaluate two options, a shorter-term deal with that same club, or they can hit free agency. So here's how Britton's contract would have worked out. The Yankees had to exercise an option that would guarantee 2 years and $27 million for the next two seasons, keeping him in New York until age 35. If the Yankees would have declined that 2022 option, Britton would have been able to choose from a one-year, $13 million deal in 2021, or he could have elected free agency. And the Yankees, and I think this is smart, I'm going to get into it, decided to exercise Britton's option for 2022. So he will be in the Bronx for the next two seasons unless a trade does go down. Now, 2 years, $27 million for a reliever of his ability shouldn't be that much. But with the market being the way it is and clubs losing so much money due to COVID-19, teams are going to be cutting budget. And if the Yankees are serious about staying under the $210 million threshold, Britton's contract is one that the Yankees could probably move because, let's face it, the guy's a high-end reliever still to this point. In 2020, you see the stats on the screen. 1-2 record, 1.89 ERA. He had 8 saves in 20 appearances. Served as the closer for a good chunk of the beginning of the year because, let's remember, Aroldis Chapman was out due to his positive COVID-19 test. So the Yankees were kind of in a bind there. Britton stepped up in a great way. Continues to be a great weapon out of the Yankees bullpen. His high ground ball rate really plays well in Yankee Stadium, especially given that it's such a small field. And for some relievers, that doesn't play well. But according to you guys, the majority of you, 88%, said to keep Britton. And I agree with that. Yeah, I think teams are going to call and see if the Yankees are willing to trade him this offseason. I think that they know the Yankees may be trying to cut some salary here and there. But Britton's a guy I would hold on to. And another guy we're going to get into in a little bit is Aroldis Chapman. And you could argue that the Yankees may have a decision to make in terms of keeping Britton or keeping Chapman. Both are on two-year deals. The Yankees may look to move on from one of them this offseason. But if I was in charge, if I was Brian Cashman, I think I would keep Britton around. I think he's a really good clubhouse guy. Ever since the Yankees acquired him, he's been a top-flight reliever. I don't think they grow on trees at this point. And with the market the way it is, I think Britton is a great keep for this Yankee team. Now, let's go to our next guy. And our next guy is none other than Luis Sessa. Sessa, he is in his first year of being eligible for arbitration. He won't be a free agent until after the 2024 season. And he's entering his age 29 season. 66% of you said he should stay, and I agree with that. Why? You may look at the numbers and say, you know, he's really a guy that they use in situations where they need innings or maybe even a mop-up duty or if they have a big lead. But you need guys like that in your bullpen. You need guys that are able to throw multiple innings and get you out of binds and certain things like that. Situations occur every single season where, you know, you may be losing a game and you might not want to kill your good part of the bullpen. Or same kind of blowout win type of fashion where a guy like Sessa could come in and throw three innings in relief and close the door. His numbers are solid. And he's another guy who missed the beginning of the year due to COVID-19 issues. He had 16 appearances in 2020, a 3.32 ERA. He allowed 8 earned runs in 21 2/3 innings pitched. He's a guy that I think the Yankees keep. I think, number one, I feel that they hold him in high regard. They see him as a quality reliever. He's a guy that fits his role well. He's done everything and anything the Yankees have asked of him. And you also have to take into consideration that he is out of minor league options. So if the Yankees try to get him through the system, he may get claimed by another team. So I would hold on to Sessa. I think that if you're looking at guys to fill the latter part of the bullpen, he's a guy that I would keep. Gives you length, gives you durability. You can rely on him in situations. Obviously, I don't want him pitching the 8th inning or the 9th inning, but he's a guy that I would, you know, keep around to eat innings in certain situations. So if I was them, I would hold on to Sessa. I think it's a smart move keeping a guy who's very versatile in his role too. You know, you could throw him for one inning, you could give him 3 innings. It doesn't really matter. He can come in and get the job done. Now, we mentioned him a little earlier, and we're going to transition right to Aroldis Chapman. And Chapman's a very interesting case for me. Entering his age 33 season, he has 2 years, $32 million left on his contract. And I think that a lot of Yankee fans have a bad taste in their mouth, given the fact that the last two postseasons, Chapman was on the mound in a losing effort, letting up a home run that ended up killing the series. Chapman's still an elite pitcher. 2020 wasn't the year for Aroldis Chapman. Missed the beginning of the year due to COVID. Really, you know, had some struggles. Was only 3 of 5 in save opportunities. But when you look at it from a perspective, he's still a quality reliever. And he may not be that same guy who's going to throw 102, 103 miles per hour like he was when he pitched for the Reds and early on in his Yankee career. But he's still a guy who could get the job done. The thing that concerns me about Chapman is his age. 33 years old. Obviously, the stuff is decreasing. It's not going to increase. So what happens when he starts losing more and more life on that fastball? Is he going to be a reliable closer in this game? Or what kind of role is he going to play? Six-time All-Star, two-time All-Star with the Yankees. He's been nothing but good for them. But in the postseason, he seems to have some yips, and it's a struggle. And with the age, if I'm the Yankees and I'm looking to cut salary, I think he's the first guy I'm trying to trade this offseason. 66% of you said he should stay. I think that it's a smart bet if I'm Brian Cashman to let him go, to trade him and get something back for him while you can. Move Britton into the ninth inning and kind of reload that bullpen. Try to save some money. You may be able to get some guys that were non-tendered in this market that may come in and give you the same amount of quality innings that Chapman may produce in that ninth inning role. I would try to trade him. I might sound crazy, but I think that I wouldn't be surprised if he's not a Yankee come opening day, especially if they're going to have to pay DJ LeMahieu. Maybe they get into a Trevor Bauer market and they have to pay him a good sum of money. I think Chapman's a guy that if you look at this Yankee team and look at guys who could be open for possible moves, Chapman's a guy you have to circle as a possibility. Now let's go to this next guy. And listen, if any of you say you want Gerrit Cole out of New York, I don't want to hear it. Gerrit Cole was phenomenal in his first season in the Bronx. 7-3, 2.94 ERA. He had some trouble with the long ball, but overall, Gerrit Cole was what the Yankees paid Gerrit Cole to be. He'll be a free agent after 2029. He's not going anywhere. He's on that 9-year, $324 million deal. Cole lived up to expectations. And even as a leader, when you watch this Yankee team, he's been nothing but impressive on and off the field. So you have to give him credit for coming in and really taking control of his new situation. He's going to be in the Bronx for a long time. Hopefully, the Yankees are able to build a World Series contending team around him because they finally have the ace they've been looking for. Now they have to go get the job done. I don't want to waste much time on Cole. You guys know how it is. Let's go to a promising young right-hander that the Yankees have in 21-year-old Davey Garcia. Now, he's not even past rookie status yet. He'll be a rookie through 2021. He doesn't hit arbitration until 2024. He'll be a free agent in 2027. And to me, that's just incredible. You know, he won't even be 22 until August of next year. I love this kid. In his six starts, I love what I saw from him. I really do. I think that one thing that does scare me about him is the durability. I think once teams start to figure him out, he's going to have to make adjustments, obviously, but that's every pitcher. But I love his confidence. I love his swagger. I love that he's willing to take the ball in any situation and try to make the most of it. The Yankees gave him the ball in that ALDS series and they let him throw one inning. I wish they would have let him go a little longer. I would have loved to have seen what they could get from Davey Garcia. And everybody says to hold on to him. I kept the option on Twitter, obviously, to see if you guys wanted to trade him, maybe get something for him before he either becomes a star or he doesn't pan out, because he's at that age where, you know, you really don't know what he's going to be. But based on what we saw and what we know of Davey Garcia, I would make a bet that he's going to be a quality starting pitcher in this league. And with the Yankees' rotation being such a question mark right now, Garcia could definitely fill in as a 4 or 5 if they go out and maybe get a 2 or a 3 and slide him in the back end of the rotation and see what he's got. I wouldn't quit on this kid. I wouldn't give up on him. At first, before he came up, I thought, you know, before he comes up, the Yankees have a bad track record with pitchers. Maybe trade him before it's too late. But he's a guy that I want to keep. He has that Pedro Martinez type of swagger. I love watching him take the mound every fifth day. And I hope the Yankees give him a very realistic chance of winning a starting position in that rotation come 2021. Let's move on to another very interesting case, and that's Domingo Germán. As we all know, Germán was suspended for the 2020 season due to a domestic violence case. And very disappointing because, let's face it, he had a really good 2019. He was arguably the Yankees' best pitcher, 18-4, 4.03 ERA. He's a guy that he'll be 29 in the 2021 season. He's still pre-arbitration eligible. He won't be arbitration eligible till 2022. So the Yankees have some club control on him. The question remains, number one, has he figured out his off-season or off-the-field issues? That's a big if. And if he's still struggling with things, I wouldn't expect the Yankees to bring him back. Obviously, I think they're going to give him the support that he needs, and they're not going to quit on him. But I think that they're taking this very seriously, and they're trying to make sure that before they bring him back, he's fully ready to be back, both mentally and physically. You know, this is nothing to joke about. Domestic violence is a serious thing, and unfortunately, it impacted him, and hopefully he's getting better from it, and he's becoming a better man off the field for it. But I just don't know what his status as a New York Yankee is. If I was a betting man, I don't think that we'll see him pitch for the Yankees in 2021. I think the Yankees are going to look elsewhere, but it's an unfortunate case because of how good he was in 2019. It really showed what he was capable of being moving forward. Let's go back to the bullpen, shall we? Chad Green. A lot of us love him. A lot of us hate him at times. Why? He's very hot or cold. I think that's a definition of the Yankees bullpen. It's hot and cold. Just the situation. Green had some times where he looked like the best reliever in the game. There were stretches this year where Green looked like one of the worst relievers in the game. But overall, Chad Green is a guy that you do not give up on. He'll turn 30 in May. He is arbitration eligible. He'll be a free agent after the 2023 season. So you have some flexibility there. You have some club control on him. He's a guy that, whether they use him as an opener, whether they use him deep in ball games, seventh inning, come in for two innings, or pitch the eighth. You know, he's a very versatile reliever who has big league stuff to get hitters out. And by big league stuff, I mean above average big league stuff. And it just seems like if he can get more consistent, he would be one of the best relievers in the game, without a doubt. But it's about the consistency for Chad Green. And we'll see if he'll be able to get there. Obviously, I think that his role in the bullpen will be expanded, will be increased. Obviously, they have a lot of faith in him. I expect him back in 2021. Now, here's a guy that I don't think many of us want to see back, and that's Jay Happ. He'll be 38 in the 2021 season. Happ had a $17 million vesting option that the team had an option on. They declined it. It looks like Happ may appeal that because he says that the Yankees didn't use him correctly, so kind of sabotaging his option because they had to go by innings and game started. But let's face it, the Yankees had no business starting Jay Happ. For the most part of the season, he had maybe one or two good starts against the Mets, if that. Other than that, Happ was terrible. When the Yankees acquired him, he was really good. They offered him that two-year deal. Probably would have been better off signing a Charlie Morton or somebody of that nature, but they brought back Happ, seeing how well he pitched. And at the time, I probably said, you know, bring him back. He was like 9-0 in the regular season, looked really good, pitched really well against the Red Sox, but it just did not work out. He was mediocre at best. I think it's time to move on. I think it's time for Happ to move on. And I think the final dagger for everybody was that ALDS game where he came in relief for Davey Garcia and got lit up. Couldn't even get at it. I think he threw like 2 2/3 innings, if that. So I think it's time to move on. The Yankees have other options, and Jay Happ should be elsewhere in 2021. Now, Jonathan Holder, this is a guy that I like, and I say it all the time, 28 years old. He's a first-year arbitration-eligible guy now. He'll be a free agent after the 2024 season. The majority of you say, like I do, to bring him back. He's a guy that I feel could be a back end of the bullpen option, but with this Yankee team, he's more of a middle reliever, long reliever, kind of mop-up duty type of thing like Sessa. But when he's on, his stuff is good. The guy has good quality stuff, and I think that's why the Yankees have kept him around for as long as they've had. You know, they've quit on relievers in the past, but they seem to like Holder and keep him around. And his 2020 numbers kind of indicate that. The ERA is a little high, but in 18 appearances through 21 and 2/3 innings, the one problem with him is walks. It seems like walks really get the better of him. And when you walk guys and give them free bases, that's when the ERA starts to skyrocket because that's when things go wrong. But I wouldn't quit on Holder. I think he's a quality reliever to use. Even if they mix him in and out, he's a guy that could be flexible and help them eat up some innings. So I would keep Holder around. I like what he brings to the table. This is a guy that I wish we saw a little bit more of. Michael King. He'll be 26. He's arbitration eligible in 2023. So the common trend here is the Yankees have a lot of club control on some of these guys. He won't hit the free agent market until 2026. And as you see by the numbers, the ERA is not going to wow you. 7.76 isn't going to wow you anywhere. But out of his 9 appearances, only 4 were starts. So for me, as somebody who watches the game and analyzes things, I feel like he was out of his comfort zone pitching out of the bullpen at times. Yes, some guys can transition to it. But when you've been a starter your whole career, it's kind of hard to make that transition, especially for a young guy like him. I think he has good stuff. If you watch the summer camp when they were versing the Yankees inter-squad, King was one of the most impressive pitchers they had. He has some really good stuff. I don't know where he translates, but I think he's a guy that is a big league caliber arm. My thought process on this, if he doesn't make it in the rotation, I think the Yankees try to shift him into the bullpen, kind of like a Jonathan Loaisiga, who we're going to get to in a little bit. You know, he's a guy that I could see them trying to move to the bullpen because for 1 or 2 inning spurts, this guy's got electric stuff that could get batters out. I expect to see more of him in 2021. I think we're going to see a lot more of the younger guys in 2021. And I think that King is going to be a lot better having some big league experience under his belt. So I would definitely keep him around. He's a guy that I really wouldn't mess around with unless you could get something really good for him on the trade market that can impact the team right away. I think I would keep him around for the time being. This is a guy that I think a lot of Yankee fans are going to be upset about, Tommy Canley. Canley missed most of the entire 2020 season, only made 1 appearance. He had Tommy John surgery. He'll miss most of, if not all, of the 2021 season. And the Yankees have a little bit of a roster crunch. They got to release some guys or make some moves to free up some space for the Rule 5 draft. But Canley is a guy that they had elect free agency because they tried to outright him. The reason why? Not that they didn't want to keep him around. Not that they didn't want to pay him. But having a roster spot for him when he's not going to pitch is just not productive in this situation. So Canley could be back. The Yankees could do something like they did with Adam Warren and sign him to a 2-year minor league deal, let him rehab, and then have him come back in 2022 and compete for a bullpen spot. The Yankees missed Tommy Canley this year. Let's not shy away from that. They missed Tommy Canley. He was a big piece of that bullpen in 2019, and he was expected to be a major part of the 2020 bullpen. And when they got to the postseason, you saw that they missed him and those innings that he would have pitched. I think that he'll be back. I love the story behind Canley. I don't know if you guys know. He was a 5th-round pick by the Yankees in 2010. The Rockies scooped him up in the Rule 5 draft three years later. That was the Rule 5 draft. I don't know if I messed that up, but I wanted to clarify. And then the Yankees traded for him when he was a member of the Chicago White Sox. That was the whole Todd Frazier, David Robertson deal. And Frazier and Robertson were the headliners, but Canley was the guy that stuck around the longest. And I think that the clubhouse loves him. I think he's a good presence in the locker room. I think a reunion is inevitable. I just think that it'll be on a minor league pact to give the Yankees a little more flexibility moving forward. Now, Jonathan Loaisiga, he's a guy that we saw a lot of this year. Age 26 season he's heading into for 2021. He's still pre-arbitration eligible. And the Yankees used him in multiple ways. He made 3 starts as an opener, pitched in late situations, pitched in mop-up roles, pitched multiple innings at a time, came in for a couple of batters. I think the Yankees are really high on him. I really do, and I love his stuff. My thing for them is this. Keep him as a reliever. Do not mess around with him and try to make him what he isn't. I think, personally, the guy is a relief pitcher and could be a really good back end of the bullpen arm. You could slide him in the 7th inning, and he could come in and get 3 outs consistently. Or could be a guy where, you know, you're winning a game in the 6th inning in a high leverage spot. You bring him in for 2 innings and he gets the job done. I love what Loaisiga brings to the table. And from what you guys say, 75% of you who voted said the same thing. So I would keep Loaisiga around. He's a guy that I see as a back end bullpen option. The Yankees may elect to use him as a opener in certain situations. That's okay. That's cool. If that's how they want to roll. But don't try to make him back into a starting pitcher. I think that ship has sailed. I think if you learn from past history, Jabba Chamberlain, you can go on. The list goes on and on. He's a guy you keep in the bullpen. That stuff is way too electric to try to ruin. Jordan Montgomery is our next victim. And Montgomery coming off Tommy John surgery filled into the Yankees rotation and was 2-3 in the regular season, 5+ ERA, made 10 starts. The Yankees are high on him. But, you know, the thing that stands out to me about Montgomery is you saw how well he pitched in the ALDS in his start. The Yankees' backs were against the wall. They needed him to step up in a big way, and he did. That's the kind of Montgomery that I think we've all been waiting for to see. Is that his coming out party? Is that the moment in his career where he says, you know, I'm a big league pitcher. I'm a caliber big league starting pitcher. I see him as a 4 or 5 in the Yankees rotation. And obviously with club control on him, I don't think the Yankees give up on him unless, like I said before, with some other cases, somebody calls and gives you an offer you can't refuse in the trade market. But he's a guy that just, he has a little Andy Pettitte in him. But I hate to put that comparison because Pettitte was such a dog on the mound that it's unfair to compare him to mostly anybody. But I just see a little Andy Pettitte in him. And I would love to see him break out and be the arm that the Yankees have envisioned him to be over the last couple of years. Think about it. If guys like Montgomery pan out, the Yankees could really save money on the open market by not having to go out and get a Trevor Bauer. If they have guys like Garcia and Montgomery and Clark Schmidt, who we're going to talk about later, pan out, the Yankees' rotation could be in a really solid spot. I think a lot of it rides on what Jordan Montgomery is able to do. Maybe a full year off of Tommy John surgery will do him well, but I expect his numbers to be better in 2021. This guy, I have to pause a minute because he really frustrates me, Adam Ottavino. When the Yankees signed him, they signed him to that 3-year deal. I was ecstatic because you see the type of movement he has on his breaking pitches and the electric stuff. But last year, he was utterly, and I mean utterly, atrocious. Look at the numbers there on the screen. 2-3 record. 5.89 ERA. Made 24 appearances. Right, the strikeout-to-walk ratio is okay. 25 strikeouts to 9 walks. But he wasn't even a factor in the postseason. So that just goes to show you that Aaron Boone lost trust in putting him in high-leverage situations. And for a guy who's making $9 million a year, that's unacceptable. I mentioned Chapman before as a guy that was a possible trade candidate to save money. But you have to imagine that the Yankees will do anything and anything, everything in their power to get him off the books. Why? $9 million for 1 year for a reliever with a close to 6 ERA is not cutting the bill. And in a 162-game schedule, it may be different, you know? We often forget about how this has impacted everybody. 60 games is a lot different than 162. Guys get into a groove, it takes a little while. Maybe that was the issue for Ottavino. But heading into his age 35 season, you have to be skeptical that he can get back on track. It's a very, very tricky situation with him, and I just think that the Yankees are going to try to move on. Now, mind you, if they can't find a trade partner for somebody who would take a salary, they might have to take a bad contract back. But if they can't find anybody, Aaron Boone's going to have to use this guy. And they're going to have to figure out why he was so ineffective. And hopefully he figures it out, because if you're a betting man, who's going to take that $9 million salary, especially in this market? Let's use an example. Brad Hand, one of the best relievers in the game. The Indians declined his 1-year, $10 million option. And that's one of the best relievers in the game. And that's only $1 million more than what Adam Ottavino was scheduled to make. So the Yankees are in a tricky spot with him. If I'm a betting man, I expect them to be back. Would I love to see them get rid of him? Absolutely. But he's a guy that, unless the Yankees take back a bad contract, I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. One of the Yankees' free agent starting pitchers is James Paxton. And I just want to go back in time a little bit, because I have to admit, when the Yankees made the trade for James Paxton, I was over the moon. I was thrilled, right? I thought it was the best trade. I thought it was going to end up being Chris Sale 2.0, a guy who really couldn't figure it out in Seattle due to the fact of injuries, never pitched more than 150 or 160 innings. And I thought that New York was going to be the place where James Paxton was going to thrive. And off his first year in the Bronx, he was 15-6 with a 3.82 ERA. Still had injury woes, but when he was on, the guy was on. So you're sitting there, you're thinking, man, this guy could be a 15-game winner in the Bronx with their offense, how good their offense has been. All he has to do is pitch five or six innings and give them quality outings. But then the injury woes continued. Had surgery on his back. They removed the cyst from his spine during the winter. Then kind of was set back at the beginning of the year. Then he had forearm injuries. Only lasted five starts in 2020. The velocity was down. He was really bad. So if you're the Yankees, you can offer him a qualifying offer, but you're in a position where he accepts it. That's $18.9 million for a guy who can't stay healthy. I like no there. And from what you guys said, the majority of you, and it was only like 55% to 45%, said to let him walk. But here's my kind of rebuttal to that. If you can get Paxton on, say, a one-year, $5 million deal to bring him back, and you make the contract an incentive-based deal where you challenge him, hit this amount of innings, this amount of strikeouts, and you add those incentives as you go along, you mean to tell me that it wouldn't be a smart move for the Yankees as Paxton's only heading into his age 32 season? With the uncertainty in the Yankees' rotation, wouldn't you want to see if this guy could get back on track on a one-year deal? Because let's face it, he's a guy that when he's on, has the stuff to be a good number two or number three in this league. So he's a very questionable free agent for me. If you can get him for the right price, I think you bring him back. I think you give him another chance. But if that price tag gets a little too high, that's when I think you let him walk. My safest bet, I think they let him walk. I don't think they agree with me on the incentive-based deal. I feel that they're going to try to go elsewhere in the starting pitching market. I think that they're kind of fed up with the injury woes and know that he's only 150 to 160 inning pitcher at best if you get him healthy enough to go that span. This guy that we're going to talk about now, I absolutely love this guy, Clark Schmidt. We didn't see enough of him in 2020. Only three appearances, last start of the year, only start of the year, came in the last game of the season. He's a guy that I think is going to be so good for this Yankee team. He just needs the opportunity. Still classified as a rookie, age 25 season. They have him under contract. Everybody wants him to stay. I think he'll be an interesting name in the trade market. I think teams are going to try to lure him from the Yankees. They're going to try to use anything and everything they have to get him. I think him and Garcia are the top two guys teams are going to want. But you look at what he's capable of and how he threw in those summer league camps. He was making big league hitters, and I mean very good big league hitters, look crazy at the plate. I hope the Yankees let him compete for a starting rotation spot. I think that they got to let the training wheels off eventually and see what they have with these guys. Same thing with Garcia. Same thing with Michael King. The only way you're going to find out what you have is to let these guys actually pitch and get an experience and get an opportunity. So I think Schmidt 100% comes back. I think 100% should get a starting rotation spot or should at least battle for one. And I think that 100% he's going to be a surprise for the New York Yankees in 2021 and beyond. Here's a guy, and we have two more that we have to get through. Here's a guy that I love with my entire heart, but it's been tough without him over the last 2 years, and that's Luis Severino. 2019, he was limited. He only made three starts. Then at the beginning of the year, had Tommy John surgery, missed the entire 2020 season. Now, the Yankees, after that 2018 year where Severino had a monster year, he was 19-8. The Yankees thought they were getting a deal by signing him to a four-year, $40 million deal with a club option for 2023. Little did they know, for the first 2 years, they would only get three starts out of their presumed ace. And this is the number two starter the New York Yankees need, guys. This is the guy. They won't have him till June or July this year. And he'll have 2 years left on that deal. But if he's healthy and he can get back on track, let's remember, he's still very young. He'll enter his age 27-year-old season. He hasn't even hit his prime yet. I would love to see a healthy Severino teamed up with a healthy Gerrit Cole. And then hopefully the other guys we talked about in the mix, because I think that Severino is a piece that the Yankees could desperately use. Let's look at this year, for example. If the Yankees win that game one with Cole on the mound against the Rays, they're turning to Severino for game two if he's healthy. And then you have a very good chance of going up 2-0 with Tanaka on the mound for game three. So there are a lot of things to digest there. Severino obviously will be back. The Yankees won't rush him back. Look for probably July, maybe even later, to see him back on the mound in the Bronx. But hopefully he could stay healthy and be as effective as he was before the injuries, because he was turning out to be one of the best pitchers in the game before the injury bug got to him. And I got to give a happy birthday shout out to this guy, our final guy to talk about today. That's Masahiro Tanaka. Happy birthday, Masahiro. If you guys follow me on my Twitter account, I do tweet him in Japanese. I want him to understand what I'm saying to him. So I do tweet him in Japanese. I tweeted him happy birthday. His birthday is actually November 1st if you're watching the show at a later date. But Tanaka, 7 years, $155 million deal is officially over. Can you imagine that 7 years went by so fast? The Yankees brought in Tanaka to be an ace. And I would say that that deal worked out very nicely for them. Tanaka was very good for them. He was a very productive pitcher. He got the job done. Unfortunately, the Yankees couldn't win a World Series during that span, and it just seemed like he was alone at times in that rotation. Yeah, he had Severino at times. He had Cole this year, but he was the mainstay in the Yankees rotation. Now, he's a very interesting case. Number one, he's going into his age 32 season. His stuff is diminishing, and like we talk about, once you get past your prime, father time does hit athletes. It does happen. The one thing to remember about Tanaka is he's still a competitor. He's still a gamer. So if the Yankees decide to bring him back, you know that he's going to go out every fifth day and give you the best stuff that he's got. One thing that concerns me about Tanaka is the forearm. We know there's a partially torn UCL, and that's not going away. It's kind of like a ticking time bomb, I would say. How long until that time bomb goes off, if it ever goes off? It's a question that the Yankees are going to have to ask themselves when they're evaluating what to do on the starting pitching market. And he's a guy that, you know, when the Yankees signed him, you were looking at him as a one or a possible two. But looking at his stuff now, he's probably a three or a four. The majority of you say to bring him back. I caution that. And you know, and I said it before, I love Tanaka, but depending on the price tag is how I go here. If it becomes a bidding war with other teams, I kind of lay off and I let him walk. Nothing against him, but you're thinking long term here. 4 years, $20 million a year, and his stuff's diminishing. As a three or a four, I think there are going to be better options for the Yankees moving forward. So if you're looking at it as a whole, I think that the Yankees will find a way to bring Tanaka back, because I think the loyalty is there. But if in some case the price tag goes too high, I think the Yankees let him walk and they try to go with other cheaper alternatives moving forward. And again, like I said, that arm is a ticking time bomb. That thing scares me. It scared me ever since we found out about it. But he's a gamer. Whoever gets Tanaka is going to get a guy who's going to compete and be the best pitcher he can be. There's also rumors he may go back to Japan if the price is there. So that'll be an interesting storyline to play as the offseason goes on. Now, let's get back into kind of a recap of the show. Obviously, we went through all the pitchers that we deemed as important from the 2020 or 2019 season. Obviously, you have guys like Severino and Herman that you didn't see. But overall, the Yankees have a lot of questions going into their pitching. You know, number one, they're trying to save salary. They're trying to go into the luxury tax. But they have to revamp an entire starting rotation. And for the most part, they got to look for some more bullpen options, because I think that they really have to figure something out and find guys who could be effective late in the game. Look at the blueprint that the Rays set or the Dodgers set. You know, you're trying to emulate what the teams in the World Series did. And what was the common denominator? Number one, they had good starting pitching. Bueller, Kershaw, Gosselin, Snell, Glasnow, Morton. You need quality starting pitching to get you there. And the Yankees have a really nice piece in Cole that's already lined up. But they do need some more help. And the Rays bullpen, I feel like they had and I hate to use the stable line because it's Kevin Cash, but they had a stable of guys who they could rely on late in games. They mix and match with guys, and, you know, it didn't work out for them. They lost the World Series. But overall, you need to have guys up and down the bullpen that you can rely on. It can't be the same two or three guys, because that's when you get yourself into trouble. So I think this is a big offseason for them. I think that they're going to have to really evaluate how this bullpen is going to shape up. And also the rotation. They have a lot of young options. But does Brian Cashman go out and be a major player in kind of bidding wars for Trevor Bauer? Maybe even go after a Charlie Morton. Corey Kluber is an interesting name that keeps getting thrown into the mix. Only time will tell. But right now, they have one set starting pitcher. And no offense to Garcia and Schmidt and King and eventually Severino, because obviously he'll come back and be a rotation guy. And then a guy like Montgomery. But overall, the rest of the rotation has to be a question mark heading into 2021. Because we simply don't know what to expect. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed this video session of the Pinstripe Talk podcast. This is something that I've been dying to do, especially given that I love talking Yankees baseball, but I want you guys to actually see me. This is a new transition for me, so I'm excited to have it. Again, on our screen, all our social media is listed there. Find us on Facebook, Pinstripe Talk Podcast, on Twitter, at Pinstripe Talk ND, and on Instagram, Delahanty Media. And then again, underneath there, some of the ways you can listen to our show: Apple Podcast, Spotify, subscribe, rate, and review our show on there. If you're listening on the audio side, as always, we thank you for listening because you guys are loyal. We love that our numbers are going up. The podcast is expanding. It's growing, and it's all because of you. And now we have YouTube. If you go to the bottom right hand of the screen, this is your homework right now. Hit that little red button. Subscribe to the show. You could also subscribe later on or go down the page as well. But I made it so easy for you. It's right on the screen. Go do that. Get that handled. And then go to our website, DelahantyMedia.com, and visit our store. Buy some gear. The gear looks nice, doesn't it? Go get your own. Support the brand. Help us out. You can get Pinstripe Talk podcast gear, Let's Debate podcast gear, Delahanty Media gear. You name it, it's there for you. Go check it out. And again, we'll be back. Check out our social media feed for our next Should They Stay or Should They Go. We'll break down the catchers and the infielders for the New York Yankees. But until then, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered by Delahanty Media. We hope you enjoy the show. We hope that you tune in next time, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's audio, heck, whether it's on our website as well. We got you covered. We hope that you continue to join in on our conversation. As always, let's go Yankees. We will talk to you very soon.